eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 20-year-old Honda man who is on the verge of changing the game. Oh no! And tangled up is Deegan and his 43 of Hamaker down two.
Oh yeah, here we are. Welcome to Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. Got my co-host, my man, Ryan Villopoto, sitting right there. Like always, we got to thank our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, Boxo USA, Dunlop Tires, and man, we got an incredible show for you guys. I cannot wait to get right into it. So much meat this week to talk about. RV, I know you are going to be on absolute fire. Before we get going, again, you can have my little makeshift studio. I am remote yet once again, but this is the last time that I'm going to be remote, hopefully, for a while. My kids have a spring break, and I only got a couple more years with them until they're off to college, so I'm making the best of it. So we appreciate you guys bearing with us if the audio isn't right, if the lighting isn't right. It is Sunday. We are recording on Sunday, so RV and I and the producers, the co-producers, are working overtime on a Sunday, but nevertheless, here we are. We're here for you guys. We're going to rip it out. It's going to be good. Might have had a couple of beverages, not going to lie, RV. So,
why not? Right here, buddy. Bet MXON. There you go. Wobbs getting you some press.
See, you're my guy. Dude, biggest thing, and we're gonna talk about this a little bit later, but Hayden Deegan, Seth Hamaker, drama. You got the villain, you got the guys. Hamaker never says anything. We are going to do a deep dive on that, but you're gonna have to hold on a little bit before we get going. But RV, so I've never been to Birmingham.
How was it? New stadium, new race.
Hey, it was good. I didn't get there till like right before our production meeting on Friday. It was raining cats and dogs.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, unfortunately, but I had a nice dinner on Friday night, and it seemed to be a pretty good vibe. I've always heard great things about the city. I heard that some of the racers were pretty stoked on it. I know that AC was really, really liking it. But yeah, dude, the weather turned out right. Venue was cool. It was very similar to Snapdragon. So okay. For all of you guys that went to San Diego Supercross, it was very similar to Snapdragon. Yeah, it was good. I think the fans turned out. The weather was kind of grim Saturday, and we rely on a lot of walk-up fans, maybe some of the weather scared some of the riders away, but nevertheless, it was a good turnout. RV, you've raced in the Southeast. I feel like those fans are pretty pretty genuine, and they're pretty excited. So
yeah, especially when you get to go to a new stadium in a place where the fans haven't had a race maybe ever. You know, sometimes we alternate some of these stadiums, but I don't think we've been to this current stadium that they just raced at. But to go to new venues and also get the fans that maybe have to travel to get those in more closer to their home where they live is really cool. As we're branching out, we're trying new stadiums and new things. I think it's great for the sport. Look, we have our iconic stadiums that we always go to and we're never probably going to leave, but it's also good to branch out and get to places that haven't seen all these Supercross riders and in the scale of what this Super Motocross series has to offer.
Yeah, hey RV, put yourself in a guy like Eli Tomac's shoes, Cooper Webb or Jet Lawrence, all the main beat players, right? So if you were in the latter part of your career, would you be pumped to go to a new venue? Because we haven't been back to Birmingham in 40 years. I think the last
40 years. Wow.
Yeah. So like, would you have been stoked to go to a new event or no?
I mean, honestly, I would totally be stoked. I think I kind of thrived in new dirt conditions. Also thinking of my competitors, why I would have been stoked, right? Like Dunge, I know him inside and out. I know that he's new tracks, new dirt, you know, potentially you might have some other outside noise, getting the bike right, you know, just all those things. I seem to thrive on conditions I've never rode on. And so I would have definitely liked to go to a brand new stadium, new dirt that we have never seen. Just like when I was racing, we went to, I think we only raced there once. We did, what's it called? Not Bourbon Street, but where they throw the necklaces out.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yep. New Orleans.
Yeah. Yep. What was it? I thought it used to be the Mercedes-Benz Dome, and then now that's Atlanta. But yeah. Anyhow, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so it's really good to have these new stadiums, you know, or new, I guess, 40 years ago. So for me, I'm not 40 years old yet, so it's new to me. So
yeah, there you go. All right, well, getting right into it. Hey, the 450 class, Jet Lawrence, incredible win. I thought he rode phenomenally. And right now, well, we're watching, this is the main event start. For those of you guys that aren't watching, we're watching a replay of the main event start. Cooper Webb got a great start. He snuck up on the inside, Justin Cooper as well. And that was a little trap, I felt like, that first corner. You could sneak on the inside, then you set yourself up nicely to be on the left-hand side of that first rhythm lane to possibly make a pass. And I think if Coop was a little bit closer, he probably would have tried to give Jet the business. But overall, what did you think of Jet in his performance this week? I thought it was awesome, dude.
Honestly, he's got these.
Did he stamp it? Did he stamp it?
Yeah, he's got these guys on the ropes, man. I was just I was walking up to the baseball game, talking to somebody, and I said the biggest thing that we haven't seen before. I've been a rookie. You were a rookie, Ricky. There's a lot of mistakes that he isn't making. Yes, has he made mistakes so far this season? 100%. But the way he's riding, the skill level, the speed he has, he's got these guys right where he wants them. I think that the type of track that we just had there in Birmingham was actually really tight. You know, you had the ruts coming through. You had to put yourself in a good starting position off the line, like we always say every show. But especially something like this track without a whoop section, a lot of full 180s, tight little straightaways. So it can become one line. So I think that right now he's got these guys trying to their heads are spinning. They're trying to figure out how to bridge that gap, stop these wins. I know he's only got a handful of wins this season, but he's got the most of anybody and he's been the most consistent. So these boys are going to have to get their butt in gear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, throw up the points for the 450 and where we're at. Okay. So I want you to break this down, RV, and tell me, like, who is on life support and yep. Who do you think has a legit shot? And now, listen, if you're an Eli Tomac fan, if you're a Roczen fan, Anderson, and maybe even Chase Sexton, this yep. probably won't be a popular opinion. Tell me who you think's on life support or who do you think that has a legit shot or can hold on.
Honestly, it's after this weekend put a big old wedge in between our point standings. As you see right now, we're showing 185 for Jet Lawrence. We're showing 13 down for Coop. So in my opinion, yes, is Chase still in the championship hunt? Yes, he is, but he's 20 down. So life support is from Chase down to let's call it Aaron Plessinger. We only had a few races ago that Aaron was and 6 or 7 points out of the lead inside 10 points for the lead. But now we're looking right now, he's sitting seventh and he's 39 points down. So really, honestly, everybody out of second place, is life support. I mean, we're closing down towards the end of this season. We have some, as we just saw, as you said, Ricky, Friday was a total, Rainfest. They had the track covered. Dirtworks did an amazing job with keeping that and getting it up to snuff on what they needed. But we're going to Seattle. We're going to some more open stadiums. These guys have to figure out how to bridge that gap to close this points up. Coop does. He's got to. He has to get inside. I would say running down to the last three or four rounds, Coop needs to be within, let's call it eight. I'm going to throw a number out there. Let's call it eight. He needs to bridge some more points up to really keep this thing alive.
Hey, everybody tuning in to Title 24, whether you're watching us on YouTube or Peacock, or you're watching us on, or you're listening to us on the audio version, listen to what RV said about 3 to 4 rounds to go, and Coop has to be within 8 or so points. I mean, you know, 8 or 10. So he says 8. I agree 100% wholeheartedly with you. I feel like anyone outside of Coop is they got their work cut out for them. And what I mean by that, RV, and you know this better than anyone, you and I march to the same beat. Those guys, Eli Tomac, Ken Roczen, Anderson, Aaron Plessinger, when I say they need luck and they have to win. And they
exactly.
have to win multiple times. And they're going to need a little bit of luck. So,
I mean, look, Ricky, if you're sitting in Coop's position, if I'm Coop, if you're Coop, yeah. And like I said, you want with 2 to 3 to 4 rounds to go, you know, if you're inside of 3 or 4 rounds to go, you need to be close enough in striking distance. And why I say that is because, you know, at this level, you're going to pick up 2 to 3 points per round, right? Let's call it. I'm just guessing. I'm just throwing it out there. You're not, unless there's a big mistake by Jet, a mechanical or a major mistake, you know, then sure, you could pick up 10 points on a weekend just like that. We all know it can happen. It's motorcycle racing. But the way Jet's going right now, these guys, Coop needs to get himself in the game. So where it comes down to these last three, where the pressure cooker really comes in, now he's within striking distance. One little mistake. Yeah, if you got 2 or 3 rounds left and you make up 2 points this weekend and 3 points next weekend, now you're within 2 or 3 for the championship coming down to the last round. And that's what he's got to do.
Well, and then real quick, roll some sound on tape. We got some sound on tape of Coop talking on the podium of where he thinks that he needs to be better.
Yeah, it was a great ride. I felt awesome. You know, like I said, I made a few mistakes at the beginning, and that gap got there. And then I feel like I did a good job maintaining it. We played cat and mouse, and I know what it takes now to run that pace. So pretty happy with tonight. Solid second. He's a hell of a competitor. Great rider. So we'll try to be better for next week.
Dude, hell of a comment by Cooper Webb. That just shows you the amount of respect that these guys, well, I say these guys, at least Coop, I feel like quietly that the other riders do have the respect like Coop does for Jet. But when I listen to that, RV, and I want to hear what your thought is about what do you think he learned about the speed and what do you think he learned about the speed and how does he fix it or get better to challenge Jet these last 6 rounds?
Yeah, you know, Ricky, I think that Coop being in that position, being able to ride behind Jet for that whole moto, for that whole race, it's probably a little bit of the intensity everywhere on the track. Look, Coop's a phenomenal top rider, 2-time Supercross champ. He knows how to win. He knows how to do this. But he hasn't really put himself in a position to really be able to kind of really study what Jet's doing and the intensity in between the rhythm sections and also him being crafty. Jet's very crafty on a track like that. So it's those little things. It's not, yes, did he learn something? I think he did. And I think a lot of that is also a mental learning. It's not like, hey, I learned where the line was and I learned how to jump this. And no. It's just up top here in your head. You can bridge that gap mentally. You're like, okay, no, he just said it. He goes, I saw what happened. I saw where I need to be. I saw the pace, the intensity. And I think that's where this is kind of the first time Coop's kind of been in that position to really sit there in second for that long. And they played a little cat and mouse throughout the main event, you know, so he could close in on a limb a little bit, opened it up a little bit, Jet would open it up. So those are the things you need to be able to see. And the more that it happens, the closer I think Coop will be able to get to bridging that gap.
So what I think, RV, that I believe that Coop needs to hone in on and sharpen the skills. And it's going to be tough to do with only, what, 6 rounds left to go. As you know, it's so hard to change your approach and then make those big gaps that is going to be needed. But I think if he can improve his intensity those first 5 to 8 laps, assuming that Jet gets a good start and Coop is right there, he's got to be more explosive yep. at the beginning of the race. And that's what I struggled with that RV racing a guy like Bubs.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how it felt, how it was when you raced him, but when I raced him, if I couldn't hold that gap within that first 5 to 8 laps, and I could hold it, but then I would blow up. So yep. if I couldn't hold that first 5 to 8 laps without blowing up, dude, it was over.
Yeah,
it was yep. over. And I feel like that's where if Coop can get that and hone in on that a little bit, I think we got something.
Exactly, because Coop's where he is strong is from, let's call it halfway till the end of the race. You know, he's one of those late kind of chargers. It takes him to build up some steam, and then he keeps going. But with a kid, right, you're talking, let's talk an age gap, let's talk a career gap in between. You know, like that's where Coop need, like you said, I agree, needs to be better. He needs to be more explosive in those first 5 laps and be able to put Jet on the defensive right away, not let him get, I mean, 1.5 to 2 seconds is enough for Jet to be able to ride. As you turn around a whole 180, you look, okay, he's right there. You can mark him. He's not under pressure, but you need to put him under pressure for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's tough to do. Moving into, so like I was thinking about like our Boxo breakdown section, and check out BoxoUSA. .com Boxo Tools. Thank you guys for your support. Fabulous tool company. For the Boxo breakdown, when I was flying down here for this little spring break vacation, I was thinking about a couple guys. Number one, because the Eli Tomac, 2-time Supercross champ, and then Ken Roczen, who rode really well. So they were like kind of on the forefront of my mind. And Eli, I saw some like how he was on the bike, RV, and when he was coming out of the corners, especially later in the main, he was laboring. He wasn't in attack position. He wasn't like over the front of the bars. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, he's more sacked out and towards the back, kind yep. of hanging on. And then I went to, and I think that he's trying. I feel like he's tried to up the intensity those early laps. And the reason that I say that, if you watch the heat race early on, like he was going for it, but he was making subtle little bobbles. And what I mean by that is, and I know you that you saw it coming out of the corners, like he came out of the corner a little too early, or he just didn't have confidence.
Good flow.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying, you like breaking it down, do you think that possibly it might be over the title fight for Eli? And I know it's a tough call, dude, but
yeah, no, I'm looking at my points right now.
I know, it's not, dude, this is RV. Tell everyone, like, this is the unfun part of our job, right?
No, it is totally. Look, we got the points. Thanks, Aaron, for getting the points up for our viewers. But we got Eli at 26 down. He's another major life support right now with being 6 rounds to go. I'm still going to say that I don't know if we have seen the best of Eli, but if we have, you know, like what a hell of a career, you know, come back from a major like that. Look, I think I've had 3 ACL surgeries. I've had collarbones. I've had multiple, my tib, fib and all these, but I've never done an Achilles. But I've only heard a lot about them, and they are very tough to come back. I don't know if it's his Achilles tendon. I said this a couple shows ago. I think it's him being 31 years old. I think it's him having 3 kids or 2 kids at home,
right.
Money in the bank. Maybe he hasn't realized yet because he's still in the racing scenario. He's still in the toilet bowl, let's call it. But I think that his mentally, he might be just not wanting to push that, ride that limit that we saw every year past to this point, which is totally okay.
Were you ever like that with anybody? Because I was that way with Stu. Dude, I'm like, I'm not going to do that section, because if I don't, if I try it and I clip, or I come up or whatever happens, dude, I might not walk away, and I'm not willing to do that. So I'm just going to take the gamble that he's going to break himself, and I'm just going to ride off into the sunset because, you know, on a default.
Yeah.
You know, on his misfortune, I should say.
Exactly. Exactly.
Were you ever like, were you ever like that with anyone?
There was a lot of races, same as you, that I would sit back and wait for something to potentially happen. Could I run the pace of James for maybe a few laps or half the race? Potentially. You know, and we're talking 2 or 3 tenths, but 2 or 3 tenths a lap on a 53 second lap time track.
That's an eternity, dude.
It's a lot. You know, you start compounding every lap and it's pretty soon you're a second and 2 seconds and 3 seconds behind. You let those guys like that, especially to your point, if there's a quad on the track or if there's something that is very technical that he's jumping. I can remember Anaheim 2, one of the races that he jumped a quad. He ended up winning that night. I jumped it twice. I jumped it the lap 2 and lap 3. And then after at lap 3, I did clip it, luckily made it out. But I stopped jumping it. That was my race because I stopped jumping it. And you have to be in this position. You have to be smart. You have to know, like, hey, today I'm not laying down. I'm not laying back. But you're going to play a different hand of cards on nights like this. But being that we're 6 races from the end, it's crunch time. I mean, 26 points down, you could literally say at this point, because there's multiple people in front of him that'll take that position, that'll take the top step if Jet has a mechanical or a major mistake. His moral of the story, his season started off a little too slow.
There you go. Kenny Roczen, dude, killer ride. I mean, he made quick work of Sexton. Just slipped up right over there, took advantage of Sexton not being able to get by Justin Cooper, which Jay Coop rode really well, did great. Maybe some of that is because of the no whoops section. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But as far as Kenny goes and the Boxo breakdown, do you feel like what's your thoughts on him? And
well, I think my thoughts, Kenny said it. He goes, I have to put myself in better starting position, especially on a track like that. I mentioned very short straightaways, almost S turns in a couple of the spots, you know, like literally 3 jumps and into a left-hander, very tight stuff. So it makes it hard to pass. And when you start around the 10th place, like you're not going to bridge the gap to the podium guys, you know? I mean, he did, he made it to the podium, but far off a Coupe, far off of Jet in any position to race with those guys. So to where we're at right now, you cannot give up that many starting positions, especially on a track like this. So yes, praise to Kenny. He rode phenomenal. He bridged the gap up to a podium position, which was phenomenal, but still not enough. But I do have to say, Justin Cooper, man, rode phenomenal most of that race. I'm sure he got maybe a little tight, blew up the lungs and the arms, maybe whatever it is. But that was his first main event in that position, being stuck in between those guys racing. He rode well. Yes, there was no whoops, but everybody had to deal with the same thing. Everybody's on the same track. So deal with it, race with it. And he rode really well. I think he's finding himself on that 450 on that star yacht.
So, adding on, after my analysis last night on the broadcast, I got to thinking about Chase Sexton and dude, how he looked really good
in the qualifier. That
qualifier.
Okay? Yes. I thought we had something special coming for the main event, to be honest.
Exactly. I did too. And I watched him, but then I started digging a little deeper and I'm thinking, well, and RV, you know how nice it is to be in that first 450 heat race. The track is like primo, way better than the second 450 heat. And like, he looked good. I thought that although he looked well, didn't hardly make any mistakes, I felt like the back looked a little bit soft, like low.
Mm.
Yeah, just soft. Like, you know,
yep.
I could be completely wrong. Things probably stiffer. You know what I mean? But just my visual when I'm watching him, like, dude, the rear looks low, but he looked great, phenomenal. However, turn the page to when they're paying out points, and dude, he it's almost like he got trapped behind Justin Cooper. And this is kind of segues to what I was telling you about with Kenny, when Kenny just boom, he took advantage of it. And you know how how quick Kenny is on his feet, especially early on in the races. Boom, boom, boom. He makes some really quick passes. But I just felt like, oh, I know that we're watching a replay when Sexton got passed back by Justin Cooper. But what I wanted to tell you, RV, is like he did well, but then when the track was more realistic and it's time to pay points, then he didn't look that good. Like, what I mean by that is he clearly didn't have the confidence in his bike or whatever it might be to get out of the comfort zone and make a move by Justin, because you know how it is on these tracks. When it's narrow like that, you got to get out of your comfort zone and ride over the limit to make a pass just for that split second. Kenny did it when he passed Justin Cooper. And I feel like Sexton looked like a different guy in the main event when the track wasn't perfect. We talked about how the track is so good. So,
yeah, which, to your point,
take it away.
To your point, Ricky, when you have a groomed first qualifier, look, you could take any one of those top guys and you put them on, let's call it soft suspension. They will ride around and jump all over one of those jumps and look like a professional. To your point of being soft suspension, if it was a touch soft, or it is soft, they're trying to get that thing to get compliant and better traction and work better through the bumps. That's typically what you do because we run our suspension so stiff, especially the forks and the shock. Anytime you have either a little bit of sticky dirt, chattery, tight turns like we had this weekend, and the track breaking down like you do, it's harder to ride the motorcycle when it's that stiff. So if it is a little bit soft, now you go into the main event, you have all these ruts, you have things getting deeper every lap, the ruts and the turns getting deeper, the track breaking down. That soft, if it is soft, like you said, we don't really know, but if it is soft, it's going to be massively, drastically exaggerated on a beat up track like we saw in the main event. If you are a little bit stiff, I ran into that problem myself. Another Anaheim 2 race before I retired. It's when I lost my gas cap, lost my glove. I ran too soft of front forks. I literally went only about, I don't know, maybe 12 inches, a foot too deep into a rhythm section. Well, my forks blew out on me and I crashed, went down. That's why we run these things so stiff, which it's a give and take. You have to have it stiff for the amount of load, for the rhythm sections, for the whoops, is as fast as you're hitting the faces of the triples. But then there's a happy medium to be able to turn that motorcycle. So maybe that's what they're fighting with. I know we talked about some internal fork changes last week with the KYB internals. I think he's still got some work to do, to your point.
Yeah. He was a completely different guy, And I was kind of amped after that first heat race, but like we do on Title 24 and wrapping up the Box of Breakdown segment is that, when I really started looking, I'm like, dude, what was the difference? Like, what was the difference? I know. And he was up front.
Uncomfortable, maybe just uncomfortable.
When you can't get by a guy, and I'm not throwing shade at Cooper at all. Dude, Justin Cooper rode.
No, but Chase should have been able to find a place to pass him. His experience, his level, past champion, you need to be able to make moves. You watch Kenny, he sat behind him. He didn't sit too long. What I saw from Chase was exactly what Dunge would do in a lot of scenarios when it came down to crunch time to passing somebody. He would sit too long, and then the pace kind of starts to get pushed up a little bit, and then at that point, it's harder to pass. So when you bridge the gap to coming up to pass somebody, don't give up where you're going to pass them, but you have to be quick on your feet. When you see that hole, the first time you see it, you need to capitalize on it. And that's what Chase didn't do. He rode behind him for too long. If you watch Kenny, he came out, he put himself in the right position, tripled into that turn and ran him up high and was able to go underneath him.
Yep. Good. Yep. We like to get in the weeds, RV and I, and we feel like we have good insights. Is like, I just feel like Chase wasn't comfortable. And I'm speculating because I'm thinking of how you or I would have felt like if I can't make money moves, it's because I'm not comfortable on the machine. Yep. So there you go. That's enough.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On the 450. I'm so excited about the United Motorsports moment of the night. I've been waiting so long, and I was resisting so hard, RV, to not text you and get your thoughts on this. I'm like, nope, I'm going to save it for the pod because I want it to be raw and real. But the United Motorsports moment of the night, I mean, it's got to be the Hayden Deegan, Seth Hamaker collision in the first corner.
Yep.
Here we go. I think we have multiple angles. And before I let the cat out of the bag and tell everyone, well, I mean, I tried to explain to everyone what I thought. From your point of view, RV, who was in the right? Who was in the wrong? Was it a racing incident? Or what could these riders do to avoid what happened?
Well, number one, if you are controlling the turn like Hayden had, yes, did he come over? Did he chop? Yes, he did. But he controlled the turn coming in. I also, at first glance, didn't see that Seth had to go around Dax, right? Like right here, we're showing replay right there. They come over. That's, I think, ultimately what started it, him having to readjust, go around Dax right here. You see him go around. He actually drops his left elbow. But at that point, it was too late. They were coming into the turn. Hayden was on his way over. So I think it's no fault, no harm on either side. In my opinion, it was a racing incident. But well,
should Hamaker have slowed down and not try to go around Dax?
With Hayden controlling the first turn, everybody else is subject behind him to watch what's happening and to be ready for somebody to cut you off. If you don't have, I'm talking one grip length on anybody, you're not in control of the first turn. So you are now subject to have literally eyes 360 degrees around your head to find out who's coming up the inside, who's coming from the right, who's going to come in behind me. If I get on the brakes too hard, am I going to get rear-ended? So there's a lot of things going on. I don't think it was ultimately it was Seth's fault, but I think it was a racing incident. I'm not going to sit here.
Oh, so you think it was Seth's fault?
I do think it was Seth's fault because he was behind, so he should have hit the brakes. He was behind Dax, and he should have hit the brakes. He should have noticed. That's my opinion.
Oh,
but I do
man.
Think there's a lot of things that are happening, and so fastly. In
microseconds, dude.
Yes.
Microseconds, bro.
Yes. So be light. I'm going to say light on whose fault it was because it is a racing incident. But like I said, anybody controlling the first turn, everybody behind them is subject to figuring out braking points, who's cutting across. How do you keep yourself out of trouble for something like that? You know what I mean? That's the thing. If you get a bad start, so I put myself as I had a lot of bad starts in my career. And at that point, you know, as soon as that gate drops, if you have a start or not. And at that point, if you know you don't have that start, it is how do I salvage making through this first turn without ending up on the ground and coming out in a respectable position? That's so you got to make so fast, quick decisions in that scenario to come out, you know, not on the ground. And that's not what happened.
Yeah. Ooh.
So man. There it is.
Dude, I love it. See, this is what I love about RV. And what he brings to the table here at Title 24, and he don't give a damn. He's going to tell it how he sees it and how he would approach it. And
I'd be doing
that's
it
what we do here. You might not like it.
To the fans and to the Title 24 show, if I wasn't out there telling them, you know, what I think. And look, it's my opinion. You can beat me up if you want, but go right ahead. I'm okay
with it. That's right. You'll be all right. Hey, that Greyhound's going to taste the same regardless, right?
That's right.
I mean, it was – so And before we land this plane on our United Motorsports moment of the night, I know that Deegs plays the villain role. Do you feel like, I mean, dude, listen, straight up, he's pissed everyone off. A lot of his competitors. And RV, you know that eventually you need friends. There's going to be times where you're going to be coming through the pack. And I do feel like it's okay to play the villain at some point. But do you feel like he's crossed the line and he needs to pull it back a little bit?
Well, that is a fine line. And I was telling my father-in-law yesterday about that. And, you know, look, I agree with everything you just said, but what he has to be careful, he's walking a fine line right now with having some friends out on the track, but also with the fans. Like, I think he has to look, I'm still a fan of Hayden. It seems like every other weekend or every weekend, there is something happening with Hayden. So this first turn pileup, for example, yes, you're heated, you're this, you're that, but to walk over to the truck, I think you need to go back and do a little investigation before you just go out and start, you know, throwing mud on the wall. You know, it's a first turn pileup. Half the time you don't know where it comes from. So, but I do think he needs to, I don't want to say clean up his act a little bit, because I like who he is. I like who he's being. I like who he's portraying. But also, like I said, it's a fine line. You know, you need to keep your fans happy. Got to keep everybody on your side. And you also need to have a few friends out there on the track if you're in these championship positions as it runs down.
I think you like how he's just like, dude, he's just a dog. He'll race you hard. I think you like his grit, dude.
I do, but here's the other thing. Like the move on Cody Shock, Aaron. I think.
Yeah, like what's up? What's your position on Cody Shock? Okay, hey, it's last corner. It's four points. Take it away. What do you think?
Well, look, if you're watching right there, we'll run this replay a couple times. Dude, Hayden did have the inside. Was he closing on him super fast? He was. But look where Shock went. He made a little mistake in the rut. And at this point right there, they're almost equal. So if I'm Cody Shock, right, if I'm racing James, if I'm racing Dunge, if I'm racing any competitor, I'm taking a look over my shoulder right there, especially last turn, the scenario, how opened it was. Like, I seen that it hurt. He had a crack in the collarbone, and now his season's over. It broke the collarbone after that. Or, you know, like I've seen some of that stuff on the internet.
What up, everyone? Just want to come on here and kind of fill you guys in on everything that's going on right now. I know there's rumors and all this, but I'm literally just come and tell you myself. Daytona had put a hairline fracture in my collarbone, and it was healing. And then last night, the whole incident that I had in the main event solidified everything and fully broke the collarbone. And it's laying on top of each other now, so sucks. But I'm here in Southern California, and I'm looking to get surgery tomorrow and start the recovery process. So don't know when I'll be back.
But here's the deal. He was able to bridge that gap before the turn. It wasn't a T-bone. They were still going straight, and they hit each other. Yes, can you be pissed at Hayden? I mean, yeah, I guess you could. My issue... what I see is the compounding of, it's like I said, every other weekend or every weekend, he seems like he's getting himself into mud holes. And after a while you get blackballed a bit. So, needs to be careful. That's all. I mean, Ricky, put yourself in his shoes. If you're coming up the inside on James like that, your closing rate is very fast. You know, you're going to get up to him. Before the turn, like, look how fast he closed in on Shock. Like, I'm taking a look over my shoulder. Maybe Cody didn't think he was that close because the gap right now is huge, and all of a sudden he sucks him up. Maybe he had no time to look over.
Yeah. Okay. Hold up. Hey, hold up, RV. So, and listen, I'm pumped for Cody Shock, and he's
totally.
I feel like he's had a breakout year.
Yep.
But this is new to him. This is new territory to him. Running up front, running with a guy on the last lap who is a SMX world champion, and he is a title contender for all intents and purposes. He's earned that right.
Yep.
If it's you and Stu, you and Chad, you and Dunge, are you, even if you mess that corner up, are you leaving that in, you leaving that much room?
No, no, not at all. And I can, I'm looking at my board, my sheet right now. I can give you about four guys that would have done the same thing in that scenario. I can give Hayden Deegan number one, right? He just, he showed us, we have the replay. I think Jalik Swole would have done the same thing. I think Pierce Brown would have done the same thing in that scenario. If their closing gap is that quick and they know they can get up the inside, we're talking inside, you know, the top five, these guys that are racing that know how critical these points are, that have been in this position. Like you're, like you said, Cody hasn't been in this position. He's not going to do that again. Watch.
He won't. He'll learn.
He's going to learn from it. I think
it sucks that,
but I think, like I said, with Hayden getting kind of stepping in mud a few places prior to this, I think it's now he's under the magnifying glass. It seems like every couple weeks or every weekend or every other weekend, he's kind of in some type of conflict. You want to try to avoid that at all costs. I think you should race hard. You should play into the fans, and you should give the fans what they want, but there's a way to do that.
That's right. That's right, dude. So,
but once again,
I'm not saying that I liked what Hayden did. I understand his position, but I also understand Cody's position. Yep. And I straight up do. But I know this much: if I was racing you, we never raced together at that level. Or if I was if Stu or MC was behind me, or whatever, whoever was behind me. If someone's going to pass me in the last corner, they're going to have to do it from the outside. And I am going to block the inside so hard. There's no shot you're getting on the inside. Yep. No, there's no chance whatsoever.
I agree.
So, live and learn. Live and learn. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now. And you've watched Vial when you were doing – well, I don't know. I don't think – dude, I'm calling you old right now. Was Vial racing MXGPs when you were over there?
No, he was not. I don't think
he's probably on mini bikes, bro.
Yes, he was. I-85s.
Oh, dude.
85.
I myself personally, RV, I feel like the next check mark for Vial is to win a traditional supercross inside of a stadium with whoops. That is a lot of everyone's Achilles heel. That's a struggle point for some people. It's no secret. And I think if you ask Tom Vial, he would tell you, hey, that's been tough for him. He even told us in the offseason, like, the biggest thing for him is learning, is finding the balance of the bike and what that looks like, especially through the whoops. He had no supercross experience. So he rode great at Daytona. We talked about it last week on Title 24. He rode phenomenally this weekend. I mean, rarely was he making mistakes. There wasn't any whoops. Maybe the mindset, because there was no whoops, he felt more comfortable. Do you think he's the favorite for the championship?
Well, I mean, look, Tom rode phenomenal. Like you said, no whoops. I think that I don't want to say the track was in his favor, because we all have to ride the same thing. Some tracks you like, some tracks you don't. I do think that this particular track, being that how tight it was, the condition that it was, it did maybe lend a little favor to him. But bottom line is he put himself up front right out of the gate, and he rode a 15 minute moto out there completely perfect. So yes, I do think he's only got a 1 point lead, but at this point, we're not talking about somebody that hasn't won a championship before. We got Tom Vial with 74 points, Cameron McAdoo down one, Pierce Brown down five, and then Hayden down 12, Cody Shock down 12, and Seth down 15. So to my point, we're not dealing with a rookie. We're dealing with a rookie to Supercross, but we're not dealing with a rookie with this type of pressure. The kid's got two world championships under his belt already, MX2 over at for MXGP. So he is very aware of the situation. He's been in these positions. So yes, I would say he is 100% a title threat.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a championship contender as well. I think going to Lucas Oil Stadium, you know, with AMA implementing the 9-whoop rule, I think that's going to help a guy like Tom Diao. If he can win with whoops in the track, I think that he'll be one of the title favorites. Although, I got to give myself personally, I got to give Cameron McAdoo and even Seth Hamaker with the crap that he went through this week and how that could be a distraction. He did really well. He did really, really well. Rode well. Pierce Brown, too. Pierce Brown, sneaky. Dude, he's sneaky. So that's my guys for the
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. Like, look, our points are very close still. It's anybody's game in the inside the top five, really. Seth rode really well. Was able to put a lot of pressure on Cameron. But what I saw that was encouraging and that was good from Cam's side was able to withstand the pressure and stick himself in that position. This is something that Cameron hasn't been great in the past, is his consistency. I mean, dude, take away round one and his wardrobe malfunction. If you get him inside the top five round one, how would we be sitting right now? He would be sitting with the points lead, right? So I will say that, you know, this is a little bit of uncharted territory for Cameron being in a points position like he's at and being starting to close down toward the end of the season. He needs to stay consistent, and he needs to also mentally keep his head in the game and not let it get too overwhelming being only one point out and push to the end so that he has the best shot at potentially winning a championship. It's going to be hard against Tom because we're going to Lucas Oil Stadium. It depends on what the weather's like. Been outside, we bring it into the stadium. If it's below freezing weather out there, like a lot of times it is, they will bring that dirt into the stadium. The stadium's about 85 degrees inside. It starts to melt all of that ice that's inside the dirt. So I've raced that track, and that foot peg deep ruts everywhere. So could lend a helping hand to, say, Tom in that condition, being from Europe, being that they see, I mean, 1,000 different conditions, just like we do, but more. I've spent time in Europe. I know what they ride on. It could be a good race for Tom next weekend if he puts himself in a good position off the start, because he's really, really got to take your time, balls to your feet, really, really navigate that track because it can be treacherous.
Yeah, heartbreak situation for Anstey. I was so bummed to see that happen. Like really bummed to see that happen. He'd had a good season going in RV, as you know, and I appreciate that. First of all, I want to give massive props to Jason Thomas for being able to get Max Anstey to get a word with us in the live broadcast like that.
Oh, there was a lot of metal going around the engine. She just went, grr. But, you know, man, I mean, the emotions, it's sort of like, I can't say what I want to say on TV, but it's, you know, that's it now. We're kind of without saying some French words, we're a bit buggered. So
to the riders that haven't done that or don't do that, dude, that is so appreciative. I know it's not a popular opinion, but at the same time, we want to hear your raw emotion. And Max Anstey did a fabulous job. I mean, he didn't say one square word. And, you know, and you think the emotions at that stage, I mean, you're thinking about all the preparation you've done throughout the year, all the team preparation that has gone on, making the bike as best as you can. And as you know, in these 250 classes, these 250 regional championships, I mean, you don't have a lot of races. So he's not going to be able to make up that points gap.
No, he won't.
I'm going to tell you now, there's no shot.
No. And his here's how he resets. They go back, they show back up at the last round, the last bit of rounds that they have, and he tries to get a couple wins out of this season and secure something for next year, maybe bigger things. You know, that Firepower Honda has done a fabulous job. I mean, we saw on the broadcast That, I mean, I think they have roughly five employees, yeah. And you're racing against teams like Star, like Mitch's
DC.
Team, all these teams that are factory backed, big budgets, and to be, or was in the championship, holding the red plate coming into this last weekend, is, that's a win in itself. Yes. It's so heartbreaking to see what happened. For him especially, like, I'm a fan, I'm just watching, I've been in that position, but I've only been in that position as a call it a factory rider, never as a privateer to put myself in a position to win a championship. So total bummer. But I think where he can rebound and where he can come back out and salvage, a hell of a season is to get a couple wins before this thing ends.
That's right. Yeah, it's like kind of like bittersweet redemption. And Jurid Konski, he's an Australian. He owns the Firepower Honda team. Super passionate, just loves the sport, gives back to the sport, takes a lot of risks to have these teams in the sport. And hate to see that for him, because Max and that whole team has done so well. But they'll live to fight another day. And I agree with you, RV, 100%. I think sweet redemption or bittersweet redemption for the Firepower Honda team and Max would be to go out, win as many races as you can.
Exactly. And he may be able to do that now, you know, like, who knows what the pressure was coming into this last weekend with the red plate, in this championship hunt, he could go home. Yes. Like you said, totally. The world turned upside down, totally bummed on what happened, but now it's like Monday turns around, you hit the reset button and you go out and you try to win these races. And I think that is a bittersweet. Yes, it's the bitter part that you're not going to win the championship, but to leave with a couple race wins or a race win.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I think that'd be huge for him.
Hey, one more thing before we get, because we were talking about this off air, before we get to the quad lock question of the week. Dude, Jalik was right there, and I'm not being biased because he was on the Triumph, but you can't deny, like, clean up a few things, and he's fighting for the podium.
I agree. This is I've seen Jalik.
Tell us what you said off air, dude, about this guy. Go ahead.
I said off air that the kid's got skills. If he number one, we just watched in the replay, stay off the ground, make a few better decisions as a racer. But as we've seen in the pet, the kid has speed. He just goes over, like you said on the broadcast, he went into that left-hand rut and the front wheel just came popped out of it. It looks like it was shallow towards the middle part. Oh, it just gives
a look at that. Do you like that? Do you like that retribution move right there?
Look, it's good. And Chance even said it on a recap or podium or whatever it was, like, hey man, I had it coming. Right there, we just watched it again right there. So it was coming and he knew it. But no, I think that the whole Triumph team, to be in the position that they're in, number one, brand new motorcycle. I think a lot of people were expecting maybe some mechanicals. I mean, I know from my side, honestly, like, I'm like, hey, a new brand coming in, and to develop this motorcycle in the, I would say, short time that they had, and then to put it on this stage, I think they're making huge strides. I think Jalik just needs to clean up his racing, put himself in better positions, because he's too inconsistent on his starts. And I think you'd have a potential podium guy on that motorcycle.
Yeah. Quote from Jalik. He says, I thought we were in for a podium last night. All in all, my riding has been progressing, and I'm proud of doing what I did with what I had to fight through after a couple practice mishaps. Also, I'm done getting pushed around. Touch me, and I will touch back. P6. Thanks, team. Boom. There you go.
I know you
love it, RV. You
straight
love
to
it.
The point. Look, now don't go now, Jalik, if you're watching the show, don't go looking to step in the doo-doo. If the doo-doo comes towards you, then you can do something about it. But don't go looking for it. Keep yourself out of trouble and ride the best race you can ride.
Dude, I love it. RV on fire. All right. Hey, our favorite question. To a year and a half now and running. Quad lock question of the week. The winner is Cavalier Eric. Let's see here. Was the modified track a win or lose for Supercross? And would you expect to see more of this? So I'm assuming what he's saying is, number one, they had a tremendous amount of rain on Friday. Yeah. So they rolled a lot of the jumps and a lot of the rhythm lanes. They weren't as peaked as what they normally are. And they got rid of the whoops because the whoops are just, as far as a maintenance issue, it's crazy for the SMX track crew. So to answer Cavalier Eric, we appreciate you being a loyal listener. RV, take it away, brother. What do you think?
I don't think it affected the outcome of the race at all. I do believe that Dirtworks has the best intentions, and so does Supercross, on how to have the best program on a situation like they had on Friday. Half of me is like, man, I wish there was a whoop section out there too, you know, and I get why they did it. I think if we are planned to get a good amount of rain, I think it's a good thing to be able to adjust. But I thought they did a great job. I thought the track was something different. I thought it was tighter than usual. There wasn't any huge jumps. So it was a weekend that you had, your strategy had to change a little bit, meaning there wasn't a lot of passing points. And as a top racer, as a guy in the, you know, on the line or was on the line, like myself, like there is, you play a little bit different hand as you show up to a place like that. So, I like what I saw. I thought the track raced well. I saw some fans and some guys beating up on about the track. Hey, look, it's a motorcycle track. We had the same results. The cream rise to the top. We didn't have anything really different than what has happened any other weekend. It's a motorcycle track, and we went out and raced it, and we had a hell of a show.
Yep, it was. I thought that the SMX track crew did a great job, and you know, especially for how the conditions were. The sun never poked out as much as it was supposed to on Saturday. Therefore, the track didn't dry out as much. And what I mean by that, like in between the transitions, between the jumps, we talked about a lot on the broadcast. I mean, we could go on, and this kind of leads me down to the Dunlop due diligence stage of Title 24. I think, so I wrote some notes down. Let me read this. And I hate reading my notes while listening and watching, but I'm like, no whoops. Was the racing better or worse, regardless of your opinion of them and liking them? RV, you know, I know you love some whoops. Was it a good race? And then the due diligence part of it. Were there less crashes and injuries without whoops? Even the easiest layouts can be challenging because of the dirt conditions, one-lined, maybe because of the flat turns. That's kind of my Dunlop due diligence. No whoops kind of culminated into how the track got one-lined. There wasn't the big 180 corner. So I don't know, man.
Ricky, I thought we had great racing all day. I thought all day, all night, I should say, had great racing. I didn't see any problem with that motorcycle track.
You still want whoops in there?
I would like to – look, I think –
come on, man.
Yeah, I think like
the racing was still good.
Well, I think that because of this decision that was made because of the rain, perfect. I think that was great. But I think if we know we're having a dry, it's Anaheim 2, it's dry Fridays,
or
Thursday,
this
Friday,
week,
Saturday,
or this weekend, or this weekend,
you know, or this weekend it's dry. I think that is something that we need to have. Is if it's nine, I think the less injuries part. I would say not that we have injuries every weekend, because we don't, but yes, we do have injuries occasionally through, but it's a risky sport. We all know that. Is the amount of speed that they generated last weekend in Birmingham there was I thought quite a bit slower, especially in the internal part of the track after, you know, if obviously you can go fast down a straightaway, not a problem, but it's the rhythm sections and things like that. But there was a lot of, you know, whole 180s, like to your point, you said flat turns inside, it really scrubs a lot of speed off. I thought the track was a great track. I think you could implement these types of tracks throughout the season and have these more, call it one line tracks, where starting position is so critical. It's no matter what, you have 22 gates on that starting line and you have the same chance as all 22 riders to get the whole shot. It's depending on you guys.
Yeah. I said it during one stage and it was like during the broadcast, I'm like, listen, dude, champions, good riders find a way to adapt to all conditions, whether it's big whoops, little whoops, no whoops, sand, mud, whatever. It is your job.
And that's what puts you in the category of great.
That's right.
Right?
That's
like there's a lot of good racing.
Good.
Yep. There's a lot of good racers that have won races and maybe even a championship, one championship to their name in the 250 class. But to be a great racer, you have to race, let's call it, I'm going to pull a number out of the cloud, 35 races a year, and you need to be your not win percentage, but your percentage of inside the top five needs to be above 50%. You need to be a 50 to 60% guy inside the top five most of the time. And then you'll become a great, you'll become into the record books as a great rider,
right?
A great racer.
Cavalier Eric, we appreciate the listen. Congratulations. You are the winner of the Quad Lock Question of the Week. You know what to do. Slide in the Title 24 Instagram DM page and JH will hook you up, get you in contact with Quad Lock, and they'll send you a whole bunch of product. And make sure when you get the product, you post about it. I have no doubt that you will be extremely pleased with it. Quad Lock is a great supporter of Title 24 and in the sport in general, all of motorsports. Which another reason that Cavalier Eric,
call him Caviar, high end
Caviar. I'm thinking because I'm over here, I'm down like on the beach, thinking of Caviar and all this stuff. But
right.
I'm thinking like the one reason that you win is it was a great question. The track was much different, but it led us into a bigger conversation with the Dunlop due diligence. Before we get going, switch gears, a little promo for the week, Aaron. Show us what all of our viewers got to watch. SMX Insider with Jason Wygant and Jason Thomas on YouTube this Thursday at 2 p.m. Always every Thursday. Then the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and Sebring Qualifying. That's 12 p.m. Eastern Time on Peacock, live on Peacock. I watched St. Pete qualifying on Peacock this morning when I was working out. 9:30 a.m. Saturday, IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. 12 hours of Sebring. That's a famous race. And then, of course, getting down to SMX, 1:30 p.m., Super Motocross World Championship. Race Day Live qualifying is on Peacock, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, conclusion of the 12 hours of Sebring. That's on USA. And then Monster Energy Supercross from Lucas Oil Stadium, 7 p.m. Eastern Time at Indy. That'll be live on Peacock. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to want to miss that. It's just something about Indy that produces fantastic racing. I mean, you go back last year at Indy, that was just an epic battle down to the wire.
Didn't Kenny win that one?
Yeah,
that's right.
He won that one.
Okay, Maybe. Rock coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Got a little track map. Let's see what the track map looks like. Going to Indy. Normally, it's a traditional Supercross. When I say traditional Supercross and RV, you know better than on these football floors. It's just kind of back and forth. Good racing. We're watching the arrow here and follow along. RV, what do you think of it from your initial view?
Well, it's an amazing stadium, number one. I like how they have an on-off there. Hopefully, guys are going to start using the on-off. But no, I think Lucas Oil was always a great place to go and race. Big floor, long start as we come back across the start here. I like how they have these little dog legs in here. We have here's our set of whoops here.
You like the dog leg, huh? Oh, backwards on the start.
Look at backwards that. On the start, yeah. And then a nice triple out of the turn into the finish line. So, we have a sand section too, it looked like right there.
Uh-oh.
So, there like you said, Lucas Oil just for whatever reason tends to race well. The fans are amazing. The stadium's super sick too. So I'm looking forward to it. But I think like you said, longer rhythm sections, you tend to get a little more being able to slice and dice like we just saw this weekend, much tighter. Wasn't a lot of passing. I think we're going to see some more passing this coming weekend.
There you go. Hey, this has been a hell of an episode, Title 24. This is one of the funner ones, fast pace, a lot of stuff to talk about. I love it. You got the Greyhound going. I got the beach beverage going right here. Yeah, like I said, working overtime. Rich Lane also says that our quad lock question of the week winner, Cavalier Eric, he was at our live show in Costa Rica.
Nice.
So, yeah, we appreciate you.
That's right. Thank you.
With RV. It's going to be an epic weekend next week. SMX and Monster Energy Supercross has been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Always.
Someone like you and I, or you're just a casual fan, it's been fun. So, you know what? Dude, it's going to be good. It's going to be good, right?
I like it. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be tuning in once again.
That's right. On Peacock Live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Live on Peacock, and make sure you check out Race Day Live if you're just completely in the weeds and you want to watch practice and think of your picks if you're on some of these fantasies. Tune in to Race Day Live. But that'll do it for this week's episode of Title 24. Again, thank you to all of our loyal listeners at Title 24. If you can't if you can't watch us on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page, make sure you go to any of the podcast applications. We are on there. Make sure you download that, like it, send us comments. We appreciate you guys. And then, of course, our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, Dunlop Tires, and Boxo USA. We appreciate you guys. And we will see you next week. I'll be back in studio, thank God.
All right.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.